This is JFM Podcast.
Good evening and welcome to Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 FM. Happy New Year to you, the first day of 2024. It's a new year, a year to be excited, a year to reminisce first on the beauty and goodness of last year, but also to do and change some of the things needed to change this year. Today on the show, we have a lot to talk about. It's an open mic Monday. I'll be doing the show alone. Unfortunately for us, Mr. Ponsa will not be here, but not to worry. He'll be here with us tomorrow so we can do justice to a lot of the conversation. But today, we'll be talking about a number of stories, the ones that caught your attention, but focus mainly on the governor's speech, the New Year's Day speech he gave this morning, and some of the issues that he raised. Before we go into all of that, before I open the phone lines for you to talk to me and for you to comment on our social media platforms on Facebook at GFM Joss, on XRGFM Joss. I want to ask you, it's a new year. It is normal that people would start to say things like new year goals, new year resolutions, and begin to write all the things they need to write down. However, for those of us in Plateau State, it's been a new year that wasn't new year, and if I'm allowed to use a Gen Z phrase, a new year that had a lot of people mourning, tears running down our eyes, pains in our hearts, and questions on our lips. It was a new year that saw the unmitigated attacks on innocent farmers in their villages who did absolutely nothing but stay in their houses continue unabated. It was a year that saw us still continue to trend the hashtag Plateau Massacre and asking that something be done. A lot of people have spoken, you know, visits have been done, which for me is good on the surface level of it. It's good that the people that matter, the powers that be, whether it is the IGP of police or the different security chiefs that have come to visit us, or the Minister of Humanitarian Affairs, Beta Edu, who came to Plateau State recently. All of these visits are good. You know, they show a form of intentionality from the government. They show that the government at least can hear and see what is happening here in Plateau State. However, like we've said before, we want more than just visits. We want more than just talk. We want more than just donating monies and giving aid to IDPs. The people who were displaced were not lazy people. People who were displaced were not those who were sitting in their house and begging for food. They had businesses. They had jobs they were doing. They had means of livelihood until some people decided that because of whatever thing, I do not know, even though I've seen some very crazy explanations as to why that is. But we need to have security at utmost level. The government would need to do more than just condemn. Condemnation would not do anything. Condemnation doesn't protect anyone. Condemnation doesn't allow people to sleep with their two eyes closed. It is one thing to condemn. It is one thing to visit. It is another to make the move. A week after that massacre that happened in Bokkos, where over 195 persons, according to last report, have been found dead and thousands of them injured in hospitals. A week after, no arrests have been made. A week after, the police have not given us any concrete trail as to what they are doing, what information they've garnered, or anything at all. It's been a week of condemnation, a week of sympathy, a week of this would never happen again, and it happened again. We would have to go more than just talking. We would have to go more than just saying this would never happen again, like I've said here on several occasions. So not the easiest way to stop any pipe, any conduit at all, is to get its source. And there is no form of terrorism, no matter how supposedly local it might be, that doesn't have intelligence and financial sponsors. Until the Nigerian government, federal government specifically here, are intentional enough, are committed enough politically and in terms of security wise to do what is necessary, the Central Bank of Nigeria, with all of the measures put in place, all of the plethora of electronic monitoring systems put in place to ensure that monies are monitored as best as they can, cannot say they have no idea how monies are being moved to sponsor these things. The borders that we have that have been left unchecked cannot be left unchecked again. The government has continuously signed into billions of Nigeria's taxpayers' money. Some are money, some they borrow, which are still going to pay, leaving us in huge debt. Cannot tell us that all of these monies are not enough to protect us. All of this explanation, all of the condemnations makes no sense. Having said that, to those who have lost family, friends, acquaintances, our hearts and condolences are with you. To those who are living there, still hoping and praying that the government protect them as it promised, my hearts are with you. And to everybody in Plateau State who are talking as loud as they can, who are asking the questions, or who are demanding that the government from the states to the federal level do their job of protecting life of citizens, our hearts are with you. This new year, we're hoping and also praying something we're not supposed to be doing, honestly, for something as simple as security. Yes, I use the word simple because we voted you and you got the mandate to protect our lives and property. We're hoping that 2024 would be the last time we'd have to come here again and talk about a massacre. I'm hoping that this year would have no cause to mourn. Like the governor said yesterday, you know, 7-day mourning period in the state. Well deserving. However, I think that more than just giving us a 7-day mourning period, we need more to be done. More proactiveness, not the ones where police officers and, you know, and different security outfits are at the venue after all of the evil have been perpetrated. Again, welcome to Nigeria at Sunset. My name is Chukwuemeka Danlumesi. It's an open mic, you know, Monday. We're talking about all the important stories you followed today in the news. If you want, you know, specifically stay with the governor's speech this morning, you can do that. If there are other stories in the newspapers that you follow today and you want to talk about with me, you can definitely do that. The phone lines are open. By 5:15, I'd open the phone lines for you to call in and share your thoughts with me. 090-5566-6699 or 081-218-7777. You can also be a part of the conversation on Facebook, @GFMJoss, and on X, @GFMJoss. Again, Happy New Year to you. A lot of stories today in the news. Some of them I was interested in. Some of them I did not particularly put any interest in. The president also spoke today, and if I'm going to be honest, I'm not trying to come across as, you know, being unnecessarily disrespectful, but the governor's speech was very important given what we are dealing with here in the state. However, a number of stories caught my attention this morning in the newspapers. Some of them I'll talk about briefly before I open the phone lines to pick your calls. The president signed the 2024 budget into law, 28.78 trillion naira. If you didn't hear that, let me say that again. 28.78 trillion naira, 2024 budget was signed into law today by the president, and that means that, you know, would have you know, a lot of changes hopefully that will be seen from this budget. This budget has come under heavy criticisms from people. A lot of people have asked why some things are there, you know, despite all of the different meetings we've had, despite different subcommittees that have met with different ministries to scrutinize the budget and try to see where they are, you know, too much or where they are, you know, excesses in the budget, we still arrived at 28.78 trillion naira. The questions that arose rather from this budget when it first came into public notice, where the amount of money is to be borrowed, where the, you know, things that were budgeted for, you know, the yacht that obviously was taken off, the vice president's house that cost about 15 billion naira, the first lady's office, and all of the many, some would say, unnecessities in this budget. However, this has been signed into law, and like every law, every bill signed into law, every budget signed into law, we would have to wait to see the implementation of this. But I think the bigger question before we enter into 2024 and talk about the budget and whether or not the presidency and his team of economic advisors and ministers are capable enough to implement this budget to the T and cut wastage as soon as much as possible, we'll have to review the last budget in 2023. Did it do well for you? One of the most important things I've heard, and I think is Dr. Emmanuel Shuaibu that often says this, is that nobody cares about, you know, jargons like GDPs and all of those many economic jargons that we hear. The average person on the streets, how he or she knows the economy is getting better, it's whether or not the prices of things in the market have reduced. We could talk about, you know, foreign direct investments. We could talk about things like IGP, things like interest rates, and all of those many jargons economics and, you know, accountants like to talk about. But the basic thing, the basic way to judge the effectiveness of any budget is how the people on the streets felt it. So I'm asking you this evening, Did you feel any positive impact from the 2023 budget in your area, in your community, in your local government? Did anything different happen that made you say, hey, because of the budget, this happened? Did you get new roads? Did you get better, you know, schools? Did you get better hospitals? Did the prices of some goods in the markets go down for you? Was there in any way at all, positively, I'm asking, did the budget of 2023 affect you anyway? And if it didn't, how hopeful are you that this budget of 28.78 trillion naira would in any way affect you positively? Do you believe in the president's team of economic advisors and ministers, as well as those around him, to do well to take Nigeria out of the doldrum of his current financial problems? Do you also share the sentiments of people who say that Nigeria's economy doesn't depend heavily on the federal government's investments or what the federal government does, but instead on the people? Some have also argued that an open market, a proper free market for capitalists to thrive, would be best for Nigeria. Do you think Nigeria's economy is mature enough to have an open market in the real sense of the word? Or do you think the government needs to also put in place some social amenities and invest some strategic amount in strategic positions to ensure our economy gets the kind of lifts it needs and walks out of the hellhole it currently is in? For us, you can call in again to share your thoughts and that. And another conversation stories I saw this evening on the news has to be the River State brouhaha. I'm tempted to not pay attention to River State politics. Now, not because I do not like it, or I don't really like fighting. Not because it is unimportant, but because if there's anything I've learned over the course of my years as an adult in Nigeria and following Nigerian political stories, is that politicians would always be politicians. Politicians would always find a way to solve their problems, while the everyday person on the streets will be left with the burden of dealing with these issues. Every single time political parties, politicians have their feuds and their rubbles where they talk, where they, you know, exchange words and, you know, the plenty of things they do, the people always suffer the most. For example, once upon a time, the present minister of the FCT, Yesam Wike, was a staunch opposition to the All Progressive Congress. Once upon a time, he was self-acclaimed sole opposition to the APC. Months afterwards, this same person who vehemently and his own words called the APC a cancer that was soon going to eat itself up is the same person singing the praises not just of the president but indirectly of the party. Is the same person who seemed to be working directly and indirectly for the same party. So again, when politicians have their fights, when they have their squabbles, I am less interested in dwelling too much on it because of how much I know that weeks, years, even from now, they will still come together in a round table, some political alignment to get them to become friends again, or at least pretend to be friends again and do what they have to do. So as people, we are the ones left to deal with all of the problems. Having said that, the governor of River State, Simi Fubara, has said that he is the winner of the elections and he has won in this crisis. Now, River State Governor Simi Fubara has declared himself as the winner of the crisis rocking the state. He said those behind the crisis wanted him out of office, and since he is still in charge, he is the winner. Now, according to reports, he has been having a running battle with the camp of his predecessor, that's Yesam Wike. The situation has led to the factionalization of the State House of Assembly, with members loyal to Wike filing impeachment notice against the governor. Now, the governor of the state also said that as long as we are singing with the red barrel, as long as we are signing with the red barrel, development will continue in River State. And for River State people, I'm hoping that all of this, I don't want to use the word unnecessary so I don't come across as being disrespectful to the issues then River State, but I hope that all of these political issues would begin to yield some form of positive results for you. Another story that caught my attention before I start picking your phone lines, I can see the lines buzzing already, has to be the Port Harcourt refinery. I've been quite calm and tight-lipped with regards to the Port Harcourt refinery and the plethora of stories surrounding it. You know, test runnings have started, test running have not started. Is it working? Was it a media charade? Was it not a media charade? All of the questions surrounding the refinery in Port Harcourt, we'll talk about that, as well as Dangote's refinery as well, which some people have also said maybe this whole refinery thing is just a way to lie to us and not give us the full details on ground. I've read in some newspapers and some editorials where some, again, I don't want to say what's self-acclaimed, some professionals have said there's nothing going on in Port Harcourt. All of the things you saw on television, all of the stories you've seen in the media are not true. The real situation on ground is nothing is happening and the Port Harcourt refinery is not working. But today, news on the Punch Principals has it that the Port Harcourt refinery begins its test run today. Now, the Nigerian National Petroleum Company Limited has commenced the supply of crude oil for the test running on the Port Harcourt Refining Company, according to reports. Now, oil marketers confirmed the development and stated that the plant would supply refined premium motor spirit, popularly known as petrol, automotive gas oil, otherwise known as diesel, as well as other products to 12 states, including Abia, Rivers, Akwa Ibom, Delta, and others. The NNPCL stated that the ongoing test running of the plant would be completed shortly, adding that commercial production of refined products would also begin shortly. Now, this came as experts and downstream operators stated that though the cost of refined products will reduce once the Port Harcourt and Dangote refineries start pumping out products, it would not lead to massive price crash. Now, on December 21st, the federal government announced the mechanical completion, that was the word used, mechanical completion of the rehabilitation work on the Area 5 plants of the Port Harcourt Refining Company in River State. It said the first phase of the plant had been completed as the facility will start refining 60,000 barrels of crude oil daily after the Christmas break. According to reports also, the Minister of State for Petroleum, Senator Heineken Lukobiri, stated that the first phase of the PHRC was completed on December 20th, adding that refined products production would commence after the Yuletide. Of course, it didn't commence after the Yuletide. He also went on to give a lot of conversations and commendations to the president as to that. But the news is that test running will start soonest. Again, this conversation as to whether or not the Port Harcourt refinery is true, whether it's false, whether it can actually refine crude, we'll have to know until things start happening. For now, our arms are still on our chest, our cards are still on our chest, and our arms are full there to see what will happen. The phone lines are open now, 081-218-77777 or 090-5566-6699. Again, the phone lines, 081-218-77777 or 090-5566-6699. You can also be a part of the conversation on Facebook at JFM Joss and on X at JFM Joss. Let me pick my phone. First call for the evening. Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening,
Daniel.
Welcome to the show. Your name, where you're calling me from?
Thank you. I'm Desmond from Barking Ladi.
Oh, welcome to the show. Go on with your contribution, please.
Yes. Honestly, you know, I want to contribute concerning my state because the Plateau State happens to be my real home.
Yeah.
And I cannot sit down and be seeing things going wrong like that without contribution to the situation. So I want to commend the governor, okay, Right Honorable Barrister Manasseh Mofoa. The man has done his best. I give it to him 100%. You know, that man, he has the pattern of leadership. That's the kind of people we call them leaders. You understand? Mm-hmm. He's a technocrat. He's not a politician because some politicians did not care. Even if their people die, whether they know that, they don't care. Some, they even gave mine to tell the world that they would die for Mr. President. You understand?
Yeah.
Even as they enter into the office, you understand?
Yes.
They will say they don't know where to begin, but it is Mr. President that gives them the concept of how to begin their ruling. So when something happened with the masses that brought them into power, you see, such politicians did not care. You understand? Even if they will be killing their people, they will not respond. But you see, this man, Kale Manasseh Mofoa, this man really stands for Plateau people.
Hmm.
You understand? He stands with them. He's not the type of governor that appointed from the other faith and be making noise that he have appointed House of Fulani, there will be peace. You understand? If you see this man leadership pattern, it's a kind of, you know, it's a kind of clean pattern of leadership that people have to copy. Other leaders have to copy. And this barrister, Musa, let me tell you something. This man is a nice guy. One, you see, I don't know. Last week, Friday, I think you and Bonsa in the on program with some honorables in their house, right?
Yes.
Mika. This man representing Barkiladi Rio.
Yes.
What is that his name? The man said something that as they step into the plateau, Jude, like that, that they saw the victim, the native of Plateau State, with chain in hand. As they step in, then the security begin, they lose the chain in their hand. You understand? It's not my work. It happened. I think you were in the video that day.
Yes, I remember.
Yes. So I want to ask something. How far with their situation? If people will be killed in my community and I end up being the victim and they come chain me, for what reason? I want the Mr. Governor to stand with these people, please and please. Some of our security, they are doing their best. They are giving their best. They are being nice people, doing the best job. But some of them have been compromised. Honestly, I'm calling on the security base now. If people will be attacked, and let me tell you something, we don't attack us, Emeka. If they come invade the community, they will be the one to occupy the land. Let me tell you something that happened last year around Mangu side. There's a place they call Kantoma and Mangu.
Please run up your thoughts quickly
invaded that community. Yeah. They happen to be the people that occupy that place for good 1.5 weeks. You understand? So I bring the type of focus on. Those people must stay inside the bush. Why can't they go after those people inside the bush and they'll call the four people in hospital with injury? You understand?
Yes.
They kind of, fixing chain on their hand. For what reason? Is that what they call the security work?
Mm.
You are there to challenge the bandit into the bush. You are coming. You're following the native of Plateau State inside the officer of the chain. For what reason? I want the Mr. Governor, please, to speak on behalf of those people, please and please, and say God, take all the politicians and the Plateau State stakeholders, please, the elders, they have to come together, they must come together. We, the native of Plateau State, we must stand and rise to the occasion to protect this land. Honestly, I want to see where they feel pain. Nobody should talk with rumor. If you have anything rumor, please take 50% of it and take another 50% of it that it will help. Even if it happens, you will be safe. Right, thank you
so much for calling. Hello, good evening.
Hello,
good evening. Your name, where you're calling me from?
My name is Samuel Joseph. I'm calling you from Okuba Road.
Samuel Joseph, please go on with your contribution.
Yeah. You see, in Nigeria, the system of our government, I call it a paralyzed system.
Why?
Because the reason why I call it, I say it's a paralyzed system, is because the governor of a state should be the chief security officer of his state.
Mm.
Instead of someone sitting above in somewhere else and be directing, well, the governors are directive in his state that he knows what is happening will be ignored. His people will be dealing with, and the security architecture of the country itself is even compromised things. I remember what happened at Miungo some months ago. In fact, I wept.
Hmm.
Well, in fact, my heart is heavy. I raise my case.
All right, then. I understand your pain. Thank you so much for calling. The phone lines are still open. 090-5566-6699 or 081-218-7777. You can also join the conversation on Facebook, @GFMJoss on Twitter, X, and on Facebook, @GFMJoss as well. Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening.
Hello, Amerika. Good evening.
Good evening, comrade.
God bless you. Happy New Year and the compliment of season 2.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
Crossover, apart from all the shenanigans, drama, political manipulation, everything. Thank God for that.
Thank God for life.
America, is he? Do you know somebody they call? What do you call him? Kadiri Sokoto.
No.
Young, small guy anyway. He's one of the most notorious who bombed Asakna many years ago, 19, one of the Catholic churches. Do you know where the guests are finding? They are the difference. If the churches for this thing are not taking consequences. I was telling somebody that this group could die some party, have this and that, recover them. You know, okay, as we speak now, this is a standby in place.
No.
Have you seen anyone?
No, not yet.
So we're acting on the laid down agenda or something that you command. No, I'm sorry to say, APC, any said I never voted for them, it's going to be into jeopardy. But what you say, God knows the best. God knows the best. We are passing the system of government. We don't have federal theory or federal ideology. Federalism. That everything should go wrong. This national advisor, ID, is talking, detailing, MLB, practice. What the fuck that is? Is that how good to be this message? I think it's going to be a holistic attack, a holistic oppression. Because the more they are fighting flat, they are maroon the other side. And when you say they'll still come back here, what are we waiting for? Every security architecture is producing their own drone. And they know if drone is one of the most important war instruments. When they call you, they capture all the people that are there. If another thing can come in, they can capture and raise the alarm. We know all these things. We carry police, we carry soldiers, we carry effort. Go to Australia, we go to UK, we go to US, making training. All these training, what are they training there? Is it a country and training for us? It's unfortunate. And let me tell you, in as much as everything bases on federal in Abuja there, which is the deal, and here, a man here, a Democrat, and the gentleman to the call, the governor, I'm not a politician, but I'm appreciating him. He has passion. And the enemy of the Jews don't want him to work. All the humanity is about from taking him just for nothing. And we are here smiling. We are here talking. The issue is that, let us do so. Let the local government autonomy. Okay, look at what the Yoruba people employ state police. It's a community policing. And it's working effectively.
All right, then. Please wrap up your thoughts quickly so we can go to pick up our calls.
About the issue of Tinubu budget from 27 billion to. What is the budget good for? To renovate your wife, to renovate president, to give more barriers for legislators. Hey, when I talk this way, I talk about poverty mentality of this country. People will come here and talk about everything. Who is the player? Like, you know how to make it work. You know that we are getting almost $9 trillion every month. Where is the money?
All right,
who controls the money?
Who controls the money?
Yeah,
all right. And you too. Thank you so much for calling. Hello, good evening. And apologies, please, you can still be a part of the conversation. 090-5566-6699 or 081-218-7777. Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening.
Hello.
Good evening. Your name, where are you calling me from?
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Bikumara, calling from PTN.
Sadiq Omar, welcome to the show. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, happy New Year to you and happy New Year to BFN and all the staff.
Thank you so much.
Happy New Year to you and happy New Year to Nigeria at last.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
I want to start by the national issue, especially the presidential speech. You see, the presidential speech is no different from other speech that we have been doing. And in his previous speech, there is some promises that he have made which have not been fulfilled. which have shown us that we Nigerians have already entered into one chapter in this politician, because most of the policy, even the National House of Assembly, most of their policy in last year, just for their own interest, especially the budget. You see, the budget now, even last year budget, I do not see the implementation of that budget as an individual, because most of the budget, they will say they will do this, they will do that, and at last, they will not do what they promised, which is very, very unfortunate. But thank God, Nigerians, they are all getting it when it comes to the issue of politician. And coming to Plateau State also, it is a very, very kudos one to hear the governor, because the governor is a big hope to all Plateau is what the governor has listed, which he has already done. This is very, very recommended, especially with the kind of debt that the governor has inherited. If he can able to pay off all the salary to the current month, it is very, very recommended. Especially like this issue of those that have paid their salary. The governor has signed the payment of their debt also. This is also very, very recommended to the infrastructure that this government is doing. But the issue of instability is the number one elected factor that disturbs the governor. Because not only the governor, even the Platinum, the governor has done his best in terms of this instability by inviting all the national security advisor, the chief of staff, and the ID of police to Plateau State. That to tell you that the governor is very, very serious about the issue of insecurity. But unfortunately, we have some Plateauans that doesn't want the peace that we are experiencing in Plateau to continue because of things that are happening. You see, the attack in Plateau is very, very unfortunate. And it is not different from the attacks in other states. But the Plateau one, you see that the governor is trying his best. But you see, these attackers, they will come and do their attack, and there is not any arrest. And they will just say they will bring and nothing is happening. But nationally, you see, these bandits will be arrested by the military. Mm-hmm. But you will see that you don't even hear their whereabouts. So you see, justice is the number one factor that is being implemented in Nigeria and in Plateau and that. There is no how an attack will be made, and there is not any arrest, there is not any prosecution, and we say that we get it, we don't get it right. So we are calling on the governor and the people to support the governor so that he will recruit this local police, which is the Operation Rambo. If the governor will, in every local government, I think they can get it right. Even the regional leaders and the traditional leaders have to support the community, have to support the governor. No matter how the governor tries, the security will not know the root and current of this bandit. But the people in the community have not that. So the people will need to hear this behind that.
All right, then.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Adekuma. Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Thank you very much, Emeka. Happy, prosperous New Year to you and your family.
Same to you, sir. Your name and where you're calling me from?
Thank you very much. I'm Gentle from Gadabi.
Gentle, welcome to the show. Please go on with your contribution.
Thank you very much. Yes, in the news, I heard of the Chief of Defense Staff for this year, all the bandits, so on and so forth, will not be seen with the cooperation of the people. And also, the chief army staff, Lagbaja himself, said that troops are coming into Plateau State. More troops are coming as to end what is happening in Plateau State. In all of this, I'm very grateful for what these two generals have said. But there is one thing I would note. Musa Christopher himself, the chief of army, the chief of staff, chief of defense staff, and Lagbaja himself, the chief of army staff. See, I would love them to do that.
they should plead and plead, bring us that shall not compromise into acoustics. Military that shall not compromise.
Okay.
I would love these two generals to please bring us that a completely re-atropic military men and women in this state, Plateau State. And not that with sentiment, rubber sentiment, religious sentiment. Or such military coming to Plateau State with tribal and religious sentiment. I'm telling you, they are going to face the worst for this year also. That is not that. Because they cannot bring military that supported their people to end what is happening in Plateau State, which we all knew.
Okay.
That's one thing. That is one thing. You can never bring military that are supporting their people in all of this killing to end what is happening in Plateau State. So let these two generals please bring us military that are completely neutral as to really, 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 really make the way with these people that are killing people of Plateau State that we knew we are not afraid. We knew them that are doing all these things. They should never bring such military to fight in Plateau State.
All
thank
right.
you and God bless you.
Thank you so much for calling, gentle. Hello, good evening. You can still be a part of the conversation on X at GFM Joss and also on Facebook at GFM Joss. I have a post there. Please go there, drop your thoughts and questions if you have any, and I'll do well to read as many as possible before the end of the show. Hello, good evening.
Emeka, good evening.
Good evening, sir. Your name and where you're calling me from?
This is Jude, sir, from Joshua.
All right, welcome, Jude.
Happy New Year, my brother.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
Emeka, my brother, is very unfortunate what is happening on Plateau. We that are from Southeast that reside in Plateau here are not happy over what is happening in Plateau State, honestly speaking. Let the government of the day of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu do the needful. That is what we are pleading. And now I tell those that claim that they are part of maybe political heavyweight, don't forget about Hello?
I can hear you. Please go on. I'm listening.
Don't forget about any political party or religion or tribal sentiment. Let's all join hands together and fight the common enemy, because these people are enemy of Plateau. And anybody that did not rise up and follow to deal with this common enemy is enemy of the state. And we pray by the grace of God this will be done rightly, so that people that, okay, yesterday or 2 days ago, just is as there. So we cannot continue in this kind of situation, wasting life. Some people are benefiting from it. Those that are claiming they want to collect, let them rethink. Let's all join hands together and make them work in Plateau. God bless you, my brother.
God bless you, Jude, sir, for calling. Hello, good morning. Good evening, rather. Hello, good evening.
Good evening,
your name and where you're calling me from?
Thank you. I'm Musa Ike Kalu, calling you from Bossy Park.
All right, Musa Ike Kalu, please go on with your contribution.
Thank you, my brother. You see, Nigeria, the situation we find ourselves is something that demands we should be asking questions. How do we get to this situation?
Okay.
When I had the speech of our Ebo governor, when he mentioned Rwanda, that is what should come to every Nigerian. This is somebody who really knew what Nigerians are into. If the whole entire Nigerian state will come out and sit down and implement that, what our governor said, Rwanda's hard time and where are they doing? Our 95% of the problem we are in today will be solved. Emeka, we are just fooling ourselves. We are in an environment whereby one tribe or other or religion feel that another tribe is a threat to its physical existence. We are talking about arms. Everybody is already armed. People are already protecting themselves. Even the political allies we are talking about is when there is not the activities of the day. So nobody should be accuse himself. If you think that any security agent is coming, that you will tell him that that life is my problem, go and finish his life, then no security agent will listen to you. You think you just get back to the drawing board. That thing that Governor mentioned, let's come back. That is our problem. You are sitting over there and you sitting over there. If I should ask a question, are you truly Nigerian? That anywhere you go, you are entitled to live as a Nigerian, that anybody will not harass you or molest you in as far. Look, all these governors we are talking about, all these our leaders, any of their implementation is either one in country, either any other political class, or tribe, or religion. Any most of their policies. So how do you expect us to live in peace? We should come together and start asking ourselves, where is Nigeria and who is in Nigeria? In as far as I'm concerned, if we don't get to that drawing board, we are just here little. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you so much for calling. Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening.
Good evening, Emeka.
Good evening, sir. Your name and where you're calling me from?
Roberto Mancini calling from Flamingo Road.
Roberto Mancini, welcome to the show. Happy New Year to you too.
Wish you the same. Long life and prosperity.
Amen, amen.
You see, the President's speech this morning, I expected Mr. President to hear his speech this morning. Talk about, you know, the danger of Nigeria. That Nigerians are passing through hardship.
Okay.
The President saying that the government should cut down the government officials of this country should cut down the cost of their own government.
Yes.
So that Nigeria has a little score. It's only appealing to Nigerians. What about the leaders, the Senate, the members of the House of Reps? What about them, the presidents and the governors? You see, why won't he appeal to them to reduce their look at the amount of securities around them? He didn't talk about cutting down all these things so that the Nigerian man will have a little speak to him. When was and the detriment of the voters that brought them into power. He didn't talk about all these things. He said that Nigeria should continue to endure. Nigeria has endured enough. If Nigeria is not a resilient country, no one would have survived in this country by now, but it's just that Nigeria is a resilient country and God is with us. That's why the poor man is still existing in Nigeria. So look at where the policies of this government is going. It's not to touch the life of the poor man positively, but just to enrich those that are already rich. It's just for the few. It's just for them alone. So if you please appeal to them to cut down their own cost of governance, because Nigeria has already done their own best by enduring the hardship. So that's
all right then. All right then. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling. Hello. Good evening. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Emeka.
Good evening, Radio Mama. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you, ma'am.
Thank you. It's really interesting that we spent the New Year. But there's nothing happy about it, besides the fact that we are working among the living. Why do I say so? Let me tell you something. If the National Assembly is not doing something to speak about letting us have state police, or the my life is still a more fun, we forsake the Operation Rainbow, and then they work alongside the hunters, and the vigilantes, the killing on the plateau will continue. Let me. I'm not saying I want it to be happening, but it will happen if we don't reverse the things that are making it to happen. So, you know, it's not a question of all the service chiefs or whatever that is arriving here to have a meeting. After that meeting, they have gone. Even before they left, did you not hear of the recent killings again? That is it. So it's just a vicious circle. It just continues like that. That is it. And then it's unfortunate that the National Assembly that is supposed to see these things as matters of urgent importance, they are there, busy inflating the budget to spend $10 billion, $6 billion on car park for them, and then $4 billion on recreation center. That's the kind of comment. And now I learned that the president has signed it.
Yes,
I don't know what he signed. So let's watch and see. These are people telling us to fasten our seatbelt right now, and they are busy losing their own. You know, you can imagine when I saw on television when the Tinubu arrived in Lagos for his Christmas vacation or whatever.
Yes.
The people were there. In fact, the government was almost small. I can't even count it. When it's up to 100 vehicles. And then after he was going there, I wish he would hear what they were saying. Or he said he would tell him. The people there that were ushering him in were shouting, we're hungry in Yoruba language. Can you imagine? Can that happen abroad? Can that happen in America or in UK? It cannot happen. There's no way. That it can even trigger a riot. Can you imagine? Then he keeps on telling us in his speech today, as far as I'm concerned, I didn't see anything spectacular in that speech. Because I thought he would have been talking about fiscal federalism. I thought he would have talked about it because that was one of his campaign promises, that he would restructure this country so that we can, the economy will improve upon and people, there will be kind of development, you know. That was what he was saying then. He said it. So now he told us that the public refinery will start producing. And I said it on this platform, any other platform, and anybody who gets to hear, that they will not produce anything till 2024. It has been indicated. Now they're telling us that it's the mechanical aspect that has been fixed. That very soon they will fix the rest, and then it will start producing for. So, look, it's really unfortunate. The situation is fast praying for. But all the same, let's not jump on Nigeria, Ogadima.
All right, Ogadima, thank you so much for calling. I am a bit, I'm going to say pessimistic. I'm a bit cautious with the budget. I've said this here on different, you know, platforms here on J101.9 FM as to my confidence with the president and the budget. But more than the president, I think that the people who should take the blame for anything, especially with an inflated budget, is the legislatures. We expect that they are the ones to do the checks and balances, to cut what needs to be cut, to take off what needs to be taken off, and maybe add what needs to be added. But too many times, the legislative arm of the Nigerian democratic system is more concerned about their pockets and what they get. I remember last year, 2023 budget, there was ruckus in the house because the president then, Muhammadu Buhari, had cut down the legislature's budget for the year and they just could not have it. They complained about the dwindling legislative budget. And when I took a deeper look into the budget, not even deep enough, just a simple cursory look at the budget for the legislature, I realized that the legislatures were taking monies for absolutely redundant things. Things like library of the legislatures, that I do not know why they have to refurbish a library every year. Things like, refurbishment of the complex. There were so many things that one would wonder why a legislative that doesn't sit all the time. Of course, they are on recess now, which is normal. But when you look at the effect of the legislators on the Nigerian system, the Nigerian masses and our economy, when you look at the kind of laws that they are being talked about in these houses, the kind of things that are being done in those houses, one wonders why we spend so much money to finance a group of people who many Nigerians do not feel are doing one-tenth of what they should do. But again, every single time we talk about the budget, the inflation on the budget, the dishonesty with the government officials who consistently tell us to tighten our seatbelt, it seems as though we are speaking and singing to the choir. Nothing is done. They keep doing what they do. They keep getting the money they get. They keep plunging us into deeper debts, and we keep complaining and talking about all of this, and nothing is done. I think it is high time that Nigerians began to ask, not just ask questions, because I think we're asking some questions, maybe not as much as I think we should be asking, but I think that more than asking questions, we need to start to recall our representatives, either senators or House of Rep members, who are not representing us ideally in the houses. If the budget for the country is 28.78 trillion naira, can we say that as a people, as a person in Tunduwada, as somebody in Riom, as somebody in Vom, as somebody in Gwarandok, as somebody wherever you are in Plateau State or anywhere in Nigeria, that the budget affects you positively? Can you see any sign that the country is spending all of the money that it's spending and all of the money is borrowing for your own good? Or are we consistently making budgets to feel the endless holes of politicians? Those are the questions we should be asking. But unfortunately for us, the people whose mandate it is to speak for us have been quiet, has been shut up with a lot of money. The supposed, I don't want to use what supposed, so again, I don't come across as disrespectful. The civil society groups seem to be losing their fervor these days, because every single time they speak up, the few ones who do speak up these days, they are shut down. The media have been, you know, so beaten down that when you talk too loudly, you are seen as being oppressive and being against the government, and either a fine is slapped on you or your media station is closed down. So it's a plethora of problems that makes the Nigerian situation a lot difficult to understand. But I'm hoping that this year, as a people, we demand more, that we ask more of our representatives. The 28.78 trillion naira in that budget should affect every single one of us. It makes absolutely no sense that we spend all of this money every year on things like security, on education, on healthcare, on some of the ones they spend the money on and the ones they don't, and Nigerians cannot say year in, year out, our lives have gotten better because of the monies our governments have spent. We cannot continue like this. And I think that as a people, we would have to do more. We would have to demand more of our House of Rep members, of our senators, more than just booing them when they come to pay condolence visits or sympathize with us, more than writing think pieces on social media. We need to start to recall them back the moment we feel that they are not doing what they should do for us. I'll go on Facebook and take some of your comments. Before I do that, let me pick one last call for the evening. Hello, good evening.
Omeka, good evening.
Good evening. Welcome to the show, ma'am.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, ma'am.
Yeah, this is Madam Queen calling from Abatua.
Welcome, Madam Queen. Go on.
Thank you so much. You see, Omeka, when I saw this, when I watched the Senate on TV yesterday, I work for this country. I know that these people don't represent us, and they will never represent us. Imagine the kind of money they want to borrow to sponsor the deal. What kind of country are we in? And these people, they are so happy. Things are happening. They don't care. They are killing people. They don't care. Especially, I don't know what is happening in this plateau state. The only person that is giving me joy in this country right now is our amiable governor, Kenneth Mofang. The move that he's moving in this country, in fact, for him to declare the 1 week of mourning for the people that died in this incident that happened in Bokkos, is a welcome development. And I'm sure he has come to right the wrong, to correct, to learn from the mistake of this past government. He has shown that he's a man of people, he's with Plateau State, and he's a real son of Plateau State. So all we need to do is to help him, because we have seen that he cares for these people. So those that care for you, you care for them. Those that want to help you, make them to help you, stand with them. That is all I can say, because as far as this country is concerned, there is no hope. From our leaders, from the national, there is no hope, because these people are just there for themselves and their family. But God Almighty will pass judgment on them and give us justice one day. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much, Ma, for calling. This is where we draw the curtains on, just for picking calls. On Facebook, we have some comments here. A number of them is Anga at CE Gold. God, good evening, happy new year, GFM. I wish you guys the best of programs this year. Thank you so much. Cipran Mafiai says, I urge security agencies to reproper their system and networking amongst them. They are informants to the terrorists within the security agencies. They need to seriously scrutinize their internal affairs about the informants within them. Also create a good synergy between the civilians and others in order to always have maximum cooperation. Suleiman Jibril goes, good evening, Mr. Emeka. Please, I want to use this opportunity to appeal to the governor of Plateau State, Mr. Caleb, to do everything possible to make sure that he stops the killing of innocent herders and farms that are going on in the state. Richard Siman goes, apart from the week of mourning from the governor's speech, it will be good and great. I get home, the governor can be able to partner with other parts of the countries of the world to seek for help and attention on security levels, so that more formidable apparatus like increase the number of security agencies and intelligence can be used in the states. Because of a want of time, I quickly rush over to X now. Danladi Oyedeji says, I pray God should give the governor wisdom in dealing with the issues of massacre in the plateau. This is not between farmers and herders, but terrorists. What does the army mean by about the terrain to Bokkos? Where were their bikes when people are being killed? Justice is needed, he says. And finally, Stefan Steven says, powerful speech there by the governor, bold and courageous. He's a technocrat going by his words and actions, but please, the problem with the securities in these areas is always compromised by the same herdsmen who are killing people here and there. God bless Nigeria. Unfortunately, I can't take any more comments today on the show. Thank you all for being a part of this. For those of you that couldn't score, thank you for always keeping your dials locked on J11.9 FM. But do not change that dial because the news comes up by 6 p.m. Stay out of trouble, spread love, and take the truth.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.